Last week we began discussing the first Mishnah. We finish off the first and say a few more things about the first part. Parag Beis Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Omer Ezehu Derech Yishara Sheyavar Lo Ha'adam Kol Shi Teferes Lo Seha Teferes Lo Min Ha'adam. So we discussed several different perspectives last week on this issue. I'm not going to repeat all of them, but basically different ways of looking at what Rebbe was teaching us. It's a big statement. Ezi derech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. It sounds like it is something pivotal about one's avodas Hashem. And we discuss whether or not this is a control, more of a control in one's own self-analysis, self-awareness. People tend to, you know, be very charitable to themselves. Some people, the minority of people, actually tend to be too harsh on themselves also. But either way, a control for proper perspective is sometimes to look at how other people look at you or how you would relate if the circumstances were similar to other people. That's one perspective that we discussed. Or we're talking about something very different, namely who are the audiences that you have to satisfy in any religious action that you do. There are multiple audiences. Of course, there is the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's Oseha, and then there is your own sense of integrity, being a mitzuveh. And I wanted to bring that in Tosfos Yontif, but I forgot it. But okay, in addition to that, there is also the rest of Klal Yisrael, or the rest of the world. That's again, I think, both on a Chilul Hashem level, you have to always consider who's looking at you and what their perception of what you're doing is. Again, the Maharal speaks a lot about this in his Perush on Avos as well, that you can't play to the crowd, can't be doing things in order to make an impression on other people when it doesn't really correspond substantively to, it's not so. You're going through the motions and other people are impressed with you. So obviously that's improper behavior. That's teferes lo min ha'adam, but that's not teferes lo oseha. But it's also important that even when you know that you're doing the right thing, and you start with that, that the impact on other people, their perception, be crucial, be a factor as well. So you have multiple audiences. That itself is a Dvar Musar that people should know, that every time they do something, that they have to satisfy more than one audience. I just wanted to take it a step further from that, and say, even though you are trying to address multiple audiences, if we're talking about the second and the third anyway, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you certainly have to address, but he's a Yodea Klayos Valev, so it's more difficult to satisfy his demands, but in a way, at least the mechanisms are simpler, because there's no question of sincerity. But when it comes to balancing your interests and your relationship with other people, like, there are two different issues. One is balancing your interests and other people's interests. That's part of this equation. But it's also balancing your interests and your relationship with others. That too is part of Teferes Le'oseha and Teferes Lo Min Ha'adam. That's what you were alluding to last time. I think the Mishnah is subtly telling us that you start with Teferes Le'oseha. First you have to be able to look yourself in the eye and in the mirror, and know that you're doing the right thing, that there's a certain integrity to your behavior and to your actions. And then, secondarily, it's Teferes L'Adam, or maybe a better way of saying it is, if, you pursue Teferes L'Osel in proper fashion, so flowing from that will be Teferes L'O Min Adam. But if you compromise Teferes L'Osel in order to accomplish Teferes L'O Min Adam, the Teferes L'O Min Adam ends up being diluted, number one. And secondly, it ends up that the relationship that you have with other people, which is maybe what sincerely motivates you sometimes to make concessions or certain kind of concessions, but if they're improper concessions, so then sadly, that sense of avas Yisrael or avas abrios, which motivates you, turns sour as well. And that's something that happens to people a lot. They do things for very sincere reasons, but they step over the bounds of the derech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. And in the end, unfortunately, ironically, even the factors that impelled them to make the choices that they did, the sincere factors, even if it was an incorrect choice, even that ends up, as I say, souring, and the relationships themselves, or the sense of avos habrios, ends up being, you know, instead of a source of further joy and meaning in your life, it ends up really being something that you associate with compromise and friction, and it ends up undercutting that whole aspect of one's life. I think this question then of how you balance these two things that Teferis Lo said, Teferis Lo Min Adam, is a question that we all struggle with every day. And again, I think what some of the Mefarshim say in Avos here, and I'm obviously extending some of them quite a bit as well, I think is at minimum things that we should be thinking about. But the main focus in the Mishnah that we're trying to develop towards the end is an extension of Shitas HaRambam, and that is that Derech Yishorah She'avar Lo HaAdam, Teferis Lo Sa, Teferis Lo Min HaAdam, isn't just about specific decisions that you make. It really is about cultivating a certain Derech. And for the Rambam, which we already discussed, the Derech HaMemutzah, that means one thing. It means a Derech in life. But I think even aside from the Rambam's Derech HaMemutzah, for ourselves, I think there's another element, and that is having a derech, having an approach to resolving conflicts and issues. There's a certain value in that as well. In other words, there's the tochen of halacha, which of course first and foremost drives our behavior and our conduct and our values. But there's also sometimes a mechanism or a methodology, an approach to how you confront and contend with challenging decisions and issues. And I think that's really what the focus of this Mishnah is. Rabbi is telling us, quite apart from what specific choices you do and make, there's a certain approach, a method, a way of making or of conducting yourself, derech yishara, that is teferis lo seh, teferis lo min adam, which also matters. And I think from that point of view, I started saying this toward the end of last time, almost all the words that are used in this prescription of Rebbe are interesting. They're not the normal phraseology that we're used to, that we're accustomed to. I think each one is loaded and charged. Again, I take an omni-significant approach to these things, I admit that, but I really believe it. The word yishara here is derech yishara is not routine. Sheyavor is a strange terminology. Tiferes is a strange usage in this context. The difference between leoseha and lo leoseha and tiferes lo min ha'adam, especially in light of some of the things that we indicated before, you may have multiple audiences and multiple agendas, but you know it's tiferes leoseha. And it's Teferes Min HaAdam, not Teferes LaAdam. I think that the language that's being used here to describe this Derech, which covers some of the issues that we already discussed, but what I'm suggesting also transcends them, and is just an approach in general to Avodas Hashem, are very, very, very suggestive. And I think that they imply the following. Number one, the concept of a Derech resonates with the idea of v'halachta bedrachav. And when we say v'halachta bedrachav, it's not just a shortcut, you know, mahu chanun, mahu rachum, you know, mahu mal b'sharumin. One could see the idea of halachta bedrachav as just being kind of a, you know, a gilui of, you know, various chiyuvim that we have. Or, you know, going a little bit further than the chiyuvim, so, obviously, to cultivate certain midos, midos rachmanus, and so on and so forth. Ma'u chanun, ma'u rachum. It's both. But I think that, generally, when we look at the idea of halachta bedrachav, we see it as something that transcends both pratim and klalim, you know, both the specific chiyuvim that are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and imitati odei, but and also even the cultivation of these midos. And it really is more the idea of halachta bedrachav, of just per se perceiving oneself as a tzelem Elokim, with the implications that you conduct yourself in a certain way, even, you know, when there aren't specific midos or mitzvos involved. Again, it reflects itself mostly in midos and in mitzvos, but the derech itself, seeing oneself as constantly as tzelem Elokim, we say shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, I think it has a dual meaning. Number one, it means that we, you know, we understand that we're always in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it also means this idea that, you know, even when we look at ourselves, we see ourselves as tzelem Elokim, and you know, it behooves us to conduct ourselves in a certain way. In that sense, ezahu derech yeshara sheyavar lo ha'adam is about this transcendent derech that goes beyond beyond these details. The phrase yeshara, I think, here is very important, as we already talked about. Namely, if you want to satisfy multiple agendas and multiple audiences, so in theory, that might mean that you have to compromise and dilute a lot and look for the lowest common denominator. That's, we were speaking a little bit about that last week. And I think by saying that the derech has to remain yeshara, because if you want to satisfy everything and everybody, and there really is no consistency and integrity in it, so you're going to get a zigzag line. But we're looking for a kind of a halachta bedrachav, where we're looking for a derech yeshara, and that's not easy to find, and hence I think the term also sheyavar lo ha'adam, which also has, I think, two connotations. Number one, the sense of breira, of being borer, meaning you don't just choose a path, you consider the alternatives carefully, and you're borer. It's not always, you know, even okal mitok psolas or psolas mitok okal, as we know from Hilchos Shabbos. Sometimes it's more complicated than that. Sometimes, you know, within okal there are things to be borer, and that too is a borer. We want that you should choose and choose carefully, because there probably are multiple ways to accomplish different goals, and you have to make sure that you're picking the optimal one and the one that is best for your personality. The idea that there is a breira, as I mentioned, is the issue that bothered the Medrash Shmuel when he started the Mishnah. What do you mean, sheyavar lo ha'adam? It says quite clearly, b'chukosai teilechu, where does this idea of choice come? But if we're talking not about performing the mitzvos, but either the additional or subjective elements, like some of the Mefarshim interpreted, like a Ben Yonah, I mean, the question of Zakei Levan Veyu, the question of personal input, but especially if we're talking about what I'm talking about now, which is a derech in Avodas Hashem that, of course, impacts and flows from, but is also separate a little bit, I mean, is also independent from B'chukosai Telechu, then we understand what we're talking about. We're talking about Sheyavar Lo Adam. We're talking about finding the best path for you, given your potential, given your personality, given your propensities. How can you go about best being an Oved Hashem? And I think Sheyavar has that connotation of being both Tahar and pure, and being Borer, being something that takes you know, thought and reflection to choose the right path. And in this sense, that's what I was saying towards the end of last week as well, I think the term Tiferes is very important. It's the term that we associate with Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael, Ki sarisa im alohakim v'im anashim v'tuchal. The greatness of Yaakov Avinu was, again, it didn't happen right away. I think we can learn from that too, Maisa avasim and labanim. Right, the parshios that that we'll soon be reading, we're not up to Yaakov yet, but the parshios we're reading now in Bereishis show us the different paths that the Avos took, each according to his own circumstances, each according to his own personality. Again, Avram's derech was different than Yitzchak's, which was different than Yaakov. And particularly Yaakov is the you know, the Bechir HaAvos, and he's Teferes because he combines best and in the most integrated way, the paths of Avraham and Yitzchak. But if you look at the story of Yaakov Avinu, it really is a story of developing different parts of his religious persona at different points in his career. I'm going to have an opportunity to speak in the past about it, but if you look at particularly in Parshas Vayetze, so I think that the key to understanding Yaakov's development, and especially in that parsha, is, you know, who he associates with. In the beginning of the parsha, he's told that he is the son of Avram Avinu. Till then, Yaakov saw himself as the son of Yitzchak. In the end of the parsha already, he's back to being Pachad Elokei, Pachad Yitzchak. He's already back to identifying with Yitzchak. In other words, different stages in Yaakov Avinu's life, he has to emphasize different contributions of his ancestors. Yaakov Avinu is undergoing the process of Ezu Derech Sheyavar Lo HaAdam Teferes Liosel Teferes Lo Min Adam. All of his challenges, whether it's, you know, the Achen Yesh Elokim B'Makom Azev Anochi Lo Yadati, or it's, you know, Lavan Garti, whatever they are, it's all a way of trying to fit in Teferes Lo Osel Teferes Lo Min Adam. And Yaakov has to essentially, he has to test different approaches in order to come up with that perfect mixed, which ends up being Teferis, which makes him the Bechir Ha'avos. Kisarisa im ha'lokim v'imu anashim v'atuchal. He's achieved excellence, you know, in both fronts. In a way, the relationship between Yaakov and Avram is very fascinating, because Avram Avinu also achieves on both levels. He's the father of monotheism, and he's also the pillar of Chesed, as we know. And it's Elokei Hashamayim and Elokei Haaretz for Avram Avinu. But again, the difference is, you know, where did it start? You know, what was he working with? Yaakov Avinu had certain advantages over and above Avram Avinu, because he was his grandson, and because he, you know, was born into a certain dynamic, and because Yitzchak, who was quite different from Avram, was his father, and the exposure to that hardcore gvura of Yitzchak made for a different mix, even though Yaakov and Avram have the same mix, but it's, you know, in different proportions and in different orders, and it makes for totally different personalities as well. Again, we're talking about all great personalities. We're talking about Avram Avinu, you know, Av Hamon Goyim. We're talking about Yaakov was Yisrael. We're talking about Yitzchak, you know, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But the point is that there is room, based on personality and circumstances and exposures and so on, within reason, of course, and that always is the crucial caveat, that there is room for a derech yishara here, which is teferes lo sa ula adam, but it's also one sheyavar lo haadam that, you know, that can be chosen with, you know, consideration of one's personal opportunities and talents and history and so on. I think these are very crucial issues, not only to understand in the development of different personality paradigms in Klal Yisrael. It doesn't end, obviously, with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It doesn't end with Tanakh. It continues throughout our own time. That's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. That's the greatness of Chachmei HaMesorah. But obviously, it's something that each and every one of us has to work on as well. What are our strengths? What are our opportunities? Within the range, of course, of Taryag Mitzvos. And each method that we take, the Sheyavar Lo HaAdam, has to consider the basic factors of Teferes Lo Seha and Teferes Lo Min HaAdam as well. It's interesting, again, that we say Teferes Lo Seha v'Teferes Lo Min HaAdam, and we don't say Teferes Lo Seha v'Ula Adam or U'Min HaAdam. Again, it's almost like the, you know, Rebbe is telling us, I understand that the teferes of Lo Seha and the teferes La Adam, each one has to be addressed, you know, with proper integrity. It isn't just that, you know, lowest common denominator of teferes, which can apply in an overlapping way to both. It's of each, and one it's low, and the other one it's min, and that becomes crucial as well. The Maral, in his Perush on Avos, says it doesn't say teferes Lo Seha the teferes lo min abrios. It says teferes lo min adam, which he takes to mean that adam is somebody, is a phrase that implies that connotes a certain higher standard. If it had said minabrio, so then basically, again, we would be operating, it doesn't say exactly this way, but this is basically what it means, with the lowest common denominator. You have to make everybody happy. Right? If you do something to make everybody happy, then it's likely that you're involved in a very mediocre and a very compromising and conceding enterprise. But Maharal says, you have to satisfy multiple agendas and audiences, absolutely. But it can be min ha'adam, not min ha'brios. Fair-minded people who have high standards. You can't be all things to all men. Whether it's the question of rovachav and kolachav, again, there's a history to that as well. The Tosas Yom Tov in his Perush on the Mishnah says, once you contrast the beginning of the Mishnah with the continuation, Ezu derech yisharashe yavar lo ha'adam, kol shi teferes lo osev teferes lo min adam, that's written as a reshus, as an Eitz HaTova. To be contrasted with the continuation, have a zayir b'mitzvah kala kibbechamura, that's written as a chiyuv and as a tzivul. And Tosfos Yom Tov says that this is an Eitz HaTova, and it's a reshus, meaning, again, there is some flexibility in how you choose to be Ovid Hashem. You have different choices. He doesn't mention the choices, but by saying it's an Eitz HaTova and not a Chiyuv, and contrasting it with Hevei Zar B'mitzvah Kala, which is a normative statement, which we'll get to soon, clearly the point that he's trying to make is that we're talking about a general derech, an approach to Avodas Hashem, which is separate in some cases from the tochen, exactly, I think, along the lines of what I'm suggesting. The Pharisee Stroll in his parish also says something very fascinating. He says, basically, there are three levels of activity that man is engaged. One is in actual chiyuvim, mitzvos. The other one is in midos. He says midos are kind of the intermediary between the chiyuv mitzvos that we have, that's category number one, and the cultivation of one's own like special religious personality. Again, he doesn't use those words, but I think that's what he's getting at. So you have mitzvos, and then you have midos, and then he says the third category is bein adam la'atzmo. I would say translate that. Not even the midos that you develop towards others or that reflect your values as you relate or interact with others, but what Bali Musar, I guess, call bein adam la'atzmo, the things, your own integrity and the demands that you make on yourself, not to be an angry person and have conduct yourself with a certain measure of dignity in the way that you dress and that the way that you talk and the way that you think. Meaning bein adam la'atzmo. He says these are the three categories which man has to address. And he says, and that's why it's sheyavar lo ha'adam, because when it comes to all three of these categories, but especially the second and the third, so changing circumstances always create different challenges. You're not going to be able to, always apply the same solutions, because the problems change and the challenges change and the consequences are always in flux, different eras and different times. So that's why it's important to cultivate a derech. Ezo derech sheyavar lo ha'adam. Because you have to have an approach which carries you through the changes and the vicissitudes of whatever era in which you live. And therefore, it's important to develop a derech which has these characteristics. Ultimately, that is what will allow you not only to weather the various challenges, but even more so to thrive. I mean, the Rav used to say that if you had to write a 14th Ani Mamin, it would be that the world of Torah and Halacha could thrive and flourish in any generation, no matter what the challenge is. And he would always emphasize that one doesn't have to know what that is. One can speak confidently about the future as well. That's kind of a built-in, tenet, a truism of Yahadus. That's, I think, what the Tiferes Yisrael is telling us. You know, it can be done, but the way that it's done is for a person to be punctilious about his chiyuvim and to continue to try to develop midos, which are the intermediary between him and his interaction with others, but also to be true to yourself in terms of those values of halacha as well. But to do that and to apply that, no matter what the circumstances, you know, one has to be very thoughtful and reflective. It has to be ezu derech sheyavar lo ha'adam. You have to really cultivate an approach to how you integrate these three different kinds of demands, which obviously are all meant to work, you know, well together, but sometimes they challenge us to make hard choices, but and in particular to applying this to changing conditions. Yeah.
Is the Derech Yishar that the Spirit of Saras Yisrael is talking about, is he saying that like it's a hefetensa in order to be fulfilled in the Chaver and Belen and the Lakom, or is it a value in itself? No, the Derech Yishar, to behave in a nice way, Musar and anger and all these other things that people talk about.
Right.
Is that a value in itself, or is that so that you don't get angry and then you don't be able
it
to
sounds to me, I don't have the language in front of me, if anybody happens to have the... What? It sounds to me like he thinks that he's equating three levels of conduct. And it sounds to me like he thinks that all of them are intrinsic. In other words, the mitzvahs, of course, that they're what we do, they're the normative requirement. The midos include being, you know, a chanun and a rachum. That's also part of adopting v'halachta bedrachav, derech Hashem. And bein adam la'atzmo, what he calls that derech eretz, bein adam la'atzmo. It sounds like that's part of being a tzelem elokei. He doesn't use this phrase. I mean, I'm mixing and integrating a lot of different perushim on the Mishnah. I think that they work together. Obviously, you know, just putting them in a certain light because I have my own view of what it means. But my understanding of the Pharisee Yisrael is that just like number one and number two are intrinsic, the Derech Eretz is a level of being a tzelem elokim and being an oved Hashem. And if a person, you know, is too angry or too much of a baishan, if his perspective is off kilter, then you know it reflects bad values. It means that his learning and his you know number one and two categories haven't sufficiently influenced him and shaped his personality, and that's an intrinsic chisaro. But again, you can look at the language, and you'll judge for yourself. But I think that's what it is. Okay. Having said that, I think we're all... I still says 9:30, but it's 2:30. Let me just begin the next point. And that is, the Mishnah says, from here, have a zar b'mitzvah kala kibakambura, she'en ata yodea matan skaron shel mitzvos, have a mekashiv hefsen mitzvah keneged skaro, skara vera keneged hefseda, and then his stakel b'shosha dvarim, en ata boli dea vera, da malamala, bimcha ayin roa, so there are two schools, as there always are in Avos, you know, whether it's within a Mishnah or in the connection between Mishnayos, there are always two schools of thought whether or not there's a link, you know, between point one and point two. Now those, I mentioned the Tosas Yantif a minute ago, who say that there's a sharp point of departure here, that the language is more in the language of an imperative, have a zayir, as opposed to ezuhu derech yishara, which sounds like, you know, Rebbe is kind of, you know, reflecting, musing, you know, ezuhu derech yishara, ah. You know, there's also a, you know, an ah aspect to it. It's not an intellectual reflection only, or musing. And it's definitely even an exclamation point, you know, ezuhu derech yishara, you know, sheyavar lo ha'adam. But with the exclamation point, it still falls short of, that's Tosfos Yontif's point, it still falls short of an imperative, of a chiyuv. But to have a zahir, the mitzvah kalak, the bechamura, she'ena teodea matan, skarn shom mitzvah, that already is, that's a chiyuv. Right? That's addressed to us in a very pointed way. Undoubtedly, that's an important contrast. There are many Mefarshei Mishnah who see this as totally separate. Rebbe said this and Rebbe said that. Nothing, never the twain shall connect in this case. But obviously there are many Mefarshei Mishnah who methodologically always assume, or homiletically, if they don't really believe it, you know, that one should try to connect, especially within a Mishnah and single author, and sometimes even across Mishnayos with a single author, and even sometimes even across Mishnayos with two authors, when you consider that, I guess, the editing, you know, by whoever put together Masechet Avos, right, that the order still matters. But certainly in this context, from a Rebbe, and then the shift to the Heavy Zar, commits a Kala, Kamura, there are many who suggest that there is a link. Now, of course, how that link is going to work depends on how you understand statement number one and how you understand statement number two. What are they talking about? And then you can discuss the link. Again, I've tried to present diverse approaches to statement number one, but I've tried to do it in a kind of integrative way to say that, you know, that a lot of them at least are getting at the same point, even though they're saying different things. So that makes it a little more helpful, I guess. But what I would say, just from, so I'm not going to try to say this in the name of the other Mefarshim for the moment, but what I would say is that the whole Mishnah, in a way, is about perspective. And it starts with the, you know, broadest view of Ezo Derech Sheyavar Lo HaAdam, as we've been discussing, without any details. Right? It's an approach. And it's goals, general goals. But from there, we have other ways of assessing or of controlling and therefore encouraging, you know, that one look at things, you know, in perspective. Of course, the end of the Mishnah is very obvious. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ena tabali de'avera, da'am ala mala mimcha, ayin roe, ozen shomas, kol masa b'sefer nechtavim, the sense of accountability. And again, shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid, Yiras Ha'onesh, but also Yiras Ha'Romamus. We'll get back to that. We'll discuss it more fully. The sense of, you know, always every action that you do is judged, and even more important, it's viewed, right? So what you think you're doing in private, and what you think you're getting away with, you know, is in fact not common knowledge, but at least knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what matters. That clearly is about perspective. Istakel begimel dorim enata maybe the de'avera is a mechanism to keep you, not just so that you won't be chote. I mean, it's that also. But it's more than that. It's a perspective towards conducting your life. But I think hebezar b'mitzvah kala kebechamura she'enat te'odeh matan skarn shal mitzvah hebe'mechashiv hefsid mitzvah keneged skar v'skar v'era keneged hefseda can also be viewed as an issue of perspective. Not just a factual question. You know, is there a hierarchy of mitzvos? How do we, you know, operate and calculate within that hierarchy? There's that issue too. That's what we'll discuss a little bit next week. But I think the main point here is that we're being told is, even if there is a hierarchy in the world of mitzvos, let's take that approach for a moment, which is the view of the Rambam and Rav Sajigon and others, how exactly you calculate that hierarchy, that's a separate question, whether it's in terms, you know, it's reflected by onshim, or it's reflected by special halachos, like Yeharim Vayavor, or Mumar Chulin issue, which we'll get to. Mumar L'chalas HaShabbos, you know, Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, when do we, which mitzvos are kind of a gateway for Kol HaTorah Kula. There can be different standards of how you evaluate the hierarchy of mitzvos. But even if we were to argue that there is a hierarchy of mitzvos, there are some that are more important and significant than others. Nonetheless, we're being told, have a zayir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. That in the end, being zayir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura, as an approach consistent with, you know, ezu derech shi'avar lo ha'adam, teferes lo sa'ad, teferes lo min ha'adam, if you want to follow that up in a normative way, right, before you end up, you know, being mistakel begimel dvarim ve'enat ha'bali dechet. So the key is to understand have a zayir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. Eino teyodeh matan skarn shel mitzvos. Even if that doesn't mean, well, you know, for all you know, the kala is the chamura. That's one way of reading the Mishnah. We'll discuss that next week. Let's say the other way, which is there's kalos and there's chamuros. So what does it mean, eino teyodeh matan skarn shel mitzvos? The chamur may be more, but the point is you should live your life with the perspective that any opportunity, even an acknowledged mitzvah kala, right, is a superb opportunity. And it's something which should not be ignored. Even the kala shebekala, right, in a teodeh maton skaran shel mitzvahs. And not just, you know, what it looks like on your record, you know, and the you know, schar v'onesh, you know, consequences. But more to the point, you know, the schar reflects the axiological value, per se. Again, Rabbi Yonah explains that the true test of Yiras Shamayim is mitzvos kalos. And in that respect, Rabbi Yonah explains that from that point of view, kalos are more important than chamuros. Drabanans, in some cases, or how one conducts himself in a drabanan, can be a you know, better gauge, a better measure of your Yiras Shamayim than, you know, than how you keep Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Because enatirdeh matan scharin shel mitzvos means, in the end, we act as if there is no schar v'onesh. We act simply on the basis of tzivui Hashem. And the respect and the reverence that we accord the system of halacha is a crucial aspect of that perspective. So the first way to understand the connection is exactly along those lines, and that is that, you know, Sof Davar Hakol Nishma, Es Elokim Yiras Mitzvasav Shemar, Kizeh Kol HaAdam. Whatever the challenges that you're going to encounter, all of which are outlined in dramatic fashion in Koheles, right, and which leave one sometimes perplexed and confused, and in some cases despondent, right, but the final line is Sof Davar Hakol Nishma, Es Elokim Yiras Es mitzvosav shemar kizeh kol ha'adam. In the end, the perspective of Yiras Shamayim, having faith that, you know, there is meaning, and displaying a sense of reverence as your derech of avodas Hashem, is the one that is most fruitful. And therefore, you dafka pick, you know, the kalos in which to reflect that, because it's not confused with the obvious intrinsic value or with the obvious schar v'onesh payoff. It's in the kalos that we can see that you're, you know, that you're enthusiastic, and your enthusiasm flows from Yiras Elokim. Ati adati ki rei Elokim ata. The Yiras Elokim is always the perspective. It's always like the filter of everything else. Right, Rak ein Yiras Elokim b'mokom hazeh v'haraguni al dvar ishti. Basically, these people have no perspective, no filter. They do what they do. They work. They operate in the moment. You know, they operate in a very obvious cost benefit calculation. Ein Yiras Elokim b'mokom hazeh. The idea of Yiras Elokim is the, you know, the ultimate control, the ultimate sense of perspective. So we're being told immediately after Rebbe's description of the wide range, or at least the flexible derech she'avar lo ha'adam, as ambitious as it is, but also as flexible as it is, that when it comes to shmiras ha-mitzvos, you're chayev for each and every one of them. And moreover, the ones which are the most either difficult to understand or neglected or seem to have the least payoff, they're the ones ultimately that reflect your true total lishma commitment to the system. I think that's one way to understand the connection here. The other way is the idea that there is no hierarchy in mitzvos at all. So we'll pick up with this idea next time, whether there is or isn't a hierarchy in mitzvos. What I'll ultimately suggest is that there probably is some sort of a hierarchy, but there isn't a single hierarchy in mitzvot, and it's also not just linear. In other words, it's a little more complicated. For different things, we speak about ase doka lo sase. Does that mean that an ase is on a higher level than a lo sase? Like an onshin, yahari bal yabor, the various possible criteria don't always work consistently. Again, start next week, we'll speak about the issue that Sefer Hasidim speaks about, which is Shabbos, a great example. Right? We say about Shabbos, that, you know, Mumr L'Kalos HaShabbos is Mumr L'Kal HaTorah Kula. Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Lamed has this whole peroration comparing to Avodah Zarah. And yet, as we know, Shabbos is not one of the Yehoreg Al Yavors. Why is that? So we'll speak next time about the idea of hierarchy in mitzvahs.